Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 150 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Jeremiah, Lesson 7. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
We do welcome you here this morning as we are in our virtual church again here today. And as we watch us move, as we keep moving forward, and I can't help but be excited that we're not too far away from the congregation being able to return here on the campus. And I will have to say that's very exciting to me. And you know how it is. You don't really know how valuable something is until you lose it. You know, it could be a mother or father, even through death or whatever. It's a, when you lose something that you've always, that you've had, when it's taken away from you, you realize the value of it. And so it is with the people of God and our congregation, as we, the benefits of coming together as a congregation, and whether it be in a building, or it be a house church, or it can be a group that gets together. Now we've got this Zoom groups, I think it is, which everybody's learning how to use that to benefit the kingdom. And all of these different ways, the value system of things of the kingdom have been heightened in me. And I'll have to say I do appreciate that. And it's amazing how your soul and your emotions and your intellect go through just, oh, we're just doing this all for nothing, to know this is the greatest thing that we could do. And I don't know if y'all are as wishy-washy as I am, but so you go from one extreme to the other in these transition times, trying to bounce off the right and off the left to find out where center is constantly. This is the time that we're in, and it just so happens that Jeremiah was in the same place. And with that in mind, Jeremiah's job was to call the people of God into their place as being the people of God. And I'm going to hit just one or two things, hopefully, here today about the book of Jeremiah here. And this will be lesson 7 in Jeremiah. And I've went over how God brings the prophets on the scene. And the reason God brings the prophets on the scene is because that the wickedness of God's people was arising. The people of God was, and the problem here was that they were using their intellect more than they were the side of them that was spirit, and their intellect side won out. Now, intellect's not wrong. It's not bad. It's supposed to be part of us. But here's what they, when the flesh takes control of the intellect, then you have something that's very persuasive. And that's what happened with Israel here. They allowed their flesh to rule their intellect. And so therefore, they came forth with reasonable. I mean, you could say, well, they were sacrificing babies. You could say, how in the world did they come to that conclusion? Through the intellect. Well, it's the same way that we have today. We think we're lessening the problem by doing that. And that's the way that all of this works. We're always thinking we're doing, it's not, to be able to say I'm in sin is one thing, but it's a trickier maneuver of when you think you're standing for what's right, but it's the wrong thing. It's just a little trickier maneuver. And we all tend to have opinions before we really think things through. I mean, I do. We all do. And a lot of times when I hear myself with my opinion, I'm like, oh, that sounded better in my head than it did when I said it through my mouth. And all of a sudden, when you hear yourself talk sometimes, it's like you're a little disappointed in yourself. Maybe it's just me. So God did send prophets, and he did fill their mouths full of truth. And that's what we see here with Joel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and with Daniel. Now we see, and the thought that I want us to use this morning as we move on, we're going to hit on up into some other chapters, but I want this to be the prevailing thought as we move in a little bit of the middle of the book and the second part of the book, is to understand that God was giving Israel an opportunity. He was always giving them an opportunity. Now, when we understand how God operates with the earth and with people, this is God's MO. Until one morning he wakes up and said, okay, I've had it. And then you'll know he's changed his MO. But basically his MO is to give us a choice. That's the idea. When I was raising my children, a lot of times the way I would handle it is they would want to do something and I would give them three choices. Okay, you pick between this, this, or this. All right, I would allow them to choose, but I kind of limited what they could choose from. But at the same time, the reason I wanted them to choose was because it was because I loved them, and I did not want to dictate unto them. I didn't want them to do the right thing. I wanted them to choose the right thing. So what is we're thinking as being goal-oriented people that we're after the right answer. And that's the reason, in all honesty, I struggled a lot in school was because failure was not used as a tool to reach success. And it was looked at, oh, no, that's bad, you're wrong. So you're always after the right answer. But to me, failure is part of real life and getting to the right answer. You need to be allowed to fail. Well, it was to give the opportunity. So we see God setting up a choice. But what God is after is a choice. I want us to understand that choice is a big idea. Choice is a big deal in the spirit world. It's a choice. God has given us, number one, the right, if you want to call it a right, but God has created this into where he has geared all of this up to give us choices. So choice is a huge thing. And a lot of times in spiritualizing things, we speak about demons, we speak about the devil, we speak about, well, this person was a bad influence on me, or we categorize things with these qualifiers, not realizing mostly what we're doing is getting the issue off of me making the choice. We're trying to blame our mothers or our fathers or a lot of different things, and truthfully, a judgment is serious. I mean, if we judge something, we're going to be judged by it. That's a serious thing. But there's something outside of that, which is called a choice, which is the big, huge thing that God started this off with two trees in the garden. So my point is this, when with Israel, choice is definitely a door into the spirit world. A choice is a door into the spiritual world. You can take door A or door B. Sounds like the price is right. And which door are you going to choose this day? Is it the door of the kingdom or the door of this world? Now, one of the places that we get into trouble is if we find ourselves in the place of the world, then we want to blame everybody. We even blame the devil and the demons. And I understand, and all of that's true realities. But two-thirds or 75% of our life is in this realm of choice. So I'm wanting to give the terminology of choice its rightful due if we're going to walk in the Spirit. Because walking in the Spirit means you choose door A to walk through to be in the Spirit. You don't walk through door B and be in the Holy Spirit. You'll be in the spirit of the world. So choice, I just want us all to understand, that is the huge issue of this book. It starts off in the garden with a choice of two trees. Now, after Israel sets up this personality, I've called it, this type of a personality that we went over 2 weeks ago, we create a persona or a personality. I think I still got the slide in there. We create this persona or this personality that we engage the world. In other words, I will let you know up front that I'm a farmer. I will make this confession since there's four or five sitting in here, and I can't see if anybody's watching online, so I feel like this is a private conversation. But a lot of places I've been into a boardroom situation or a church and a problem situation, every time I go in this to solve problems, I'll say, well, I'm Alan Smith and I'm a farmer. Well, automatically, they have a persona. I've put forth a persona of who I am. Number one, they'll say, oh, he's a dumb farmer. We won't have to worry about him. And I'd rather to be in that category, because all of a sudden, you don't have to go through the normal jargon of the bull syndrome. You know what I'm saying? Now, he's a farmer sitting over here. And do I project that? That is a projection of my persona. Now, I like being a farmer. I want to be a farmer. I like what it means to be a farmer. I put that forth as who I am. But that's not who I am. That's what I do. But as I put it forth as a persona or a personality, then people will judge me based on that. This is who we are. Now, that's what I do, and I do like to do it, evidently. So, but it's not my who I am. Who I am is who I am in Christ. That is who I am. So the discovery is, who am I in Him? That's the great discovery. Now, for sure, you got to know who you are personally before you can give yourself over to Him. But we tend to just give Him over our personalities and our persona. That's what Israel was doing. It just so happens they were going through door B and worshiping other gods. And that sets up this whole... But I wanted us to see the spiritual science, if you will, of how this thing's put together and how it works. Number one, choice is the big issue. And if you are operating out of, it could be anything. Well, they won't let us go to church, so I'm mad at the church. Or they won't let us do this, or somebody won't let it. In other words, if your life, if who you are, if the life you are living is based off of the outside world, you went through door B. The world and how it affects you is creating your persona or who you are or how you live. I'm just saying that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to walk through door A of the kingdom. That means no matter what goes on around me, no matter what, who, or whatever, my happiness, who I am, is not determined on you. Or the world, or COVID, or whatever. My contentment and who I am is in Christ. That is a choice, not a persuasion. Please hear what I'm saying. Most people are trying to wait till they're persuaded. Spiritual things do not work that way. It's a choice first. Then you're persuaded you made a good choice. You can't get in the door to know if it was all of the written stuff. Everything you need to know to be persuaded is behind door A. You have to make the choice to walk through that door before the revelation of why that was a good idea comes forth. God was giving Israel an opportunity with this whole thing of captivity. He sent the prophets and saying, there's your choice. Now so God tends to allow calamity to come or whatever. And what he's saying is, there is a choice before you. And that is my greatest point this morning, is with this crisis or pandemic that we see ourselves in. It's amazing. You got those, as Trevor was saying, you've got some in a conspiracy theory setting that believe there's not even a virus, to the other extreme, to they want people are in such fear they won't even wiggle because of the virus. So we've got these two extremes out here thinking, here's what we think, if I go further to an extreme, I'll get closer to the truth. The things of the Spirit doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. I've got to get more to the right. I've got to get away from, people can do it every day. I'm going to get away from church because it's the organized churches. So I'm going to get extreme. I'm going to do this and that. Well, I'm just going to be my own church. So the choice is, if you go to the extreme right or left, you've made a choice to go to the right or left, is my point. There's another choice, and that is, where is God leading us? And it's, if you use your intellect, you go to two extremes to create a truth. It's just the way the human mind's made up. If you take your life, you'll take the worst thing that's happened in your life, and you'll take the best thing that's happened in your life. And automatically, your subconscious is doing a balancing act. Well, I've had a good day. Well, a good day is what your worst day was and your best day was, and you're in the middle of it. I've had a good day. So that's the way the human mind works. It's always in a balancing act of two extremes, and we believe if we get closer to one extreme or the other, that we're closer to truth. That's the problem that Israel was having here. They got themselves into extreme behavior thinking they were closer to the truth. Did you maybe catch what I'm trying to point out here? So, just like for an abortion, for instance, and they were killing babies here, does my heart go out for the situation a person can be in wanting an abortion? Totally. But to go to that extreme to say this is the right answer, do you see how that I chose an extreme to be closer to the truth? And what we really got to do is make it a choice with what God says. So we go here, and we got His Spirit to lead us, to go here. So the choice to make in the kingdom of God is usually not to the extreme of right or left. And I hope you can hear what I'm saying. There's a third choice out there. And the third choice, I teach it in the prophetic, that I maybe even did it in here some, you have three sides, not two sides. You've got the right, and you've got the left, and you've got God. And if we're in the right and the left choice, just understand you're probably operating in your intellect. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means you're probably leaving out the element of the Holy Spirit of God to say, okay, let's do this, this, and this. Now, that's what had happened with Israel. Now, here is what was going on with them just a little bit. The cap being going to Babylon, went into exile. They had departed from God. God had given them great intellect. Now, I don't think we can deny this. The Jewish people, even to this day, tend to be brilliant. I call it what you want to. They just are. It's some of the most brilliant people on the planet are. But so God had given them great intellect. I keep praying my prayers to the Lord. Lord, don't forget I'm grafted in. I need a little more intellect here. Don't forget me, Lord. But you can see that God gave them this incredible intellect. And we know that they had an above normal, and I think they still do. So, but it's their choice on how it's used. If you can see what I'm saying, I'm showing you how this thing evolved into doing these extremes that were wrong, but appeared to be right to the intellect. And so here, God had given them great intellect, but they were not using it correctly. God gave them this very complex body, mind, and spirit and they had chosen to go their own way. So we all in here have a level of intellect. And with the power of the Spirit, that's an empowered intellect. Now here's the key. The key is your choice and how you're going to direct your intellect. In other words, if your default is always the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, if that's our default, the intellect will do you good. But if the intellect the intellect can take you Just like your soul can take you to where you don't need to go, your intellect can, if it's not the right choices. Israel was not owning their behavior. Now, that's one thing that intellect can do, but it doesn't do it by itself. It has to make a choice of owning. Now, the intellect can do that. They could have owned Israel at any time, could have owned their own behavior. Now, can you imagine, since God's, I have to believe with the Holy Ghost that our intellect should increase under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Intellect is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And I personally believe that that is one of the gifts that can increase under the power of the Holy Spirit. I know in some things my intellect is not that sharp. In things of the Scripture and of the Spirit, it seems as though I can see some things clear to me. I know I'm a lot sharper in the Word of God than I am the encyclopedia. You know, Trevor used to tell me how he'd take his children down the road and they would name different states and their capital and in foreign countries and their capital cities and what they grew, and he had this game going on, getting his kids' intellect going, which is incredibly good. But I couldn't even name the foreign countries, much less the capitals of their country and their cities. But anyway, we have to, in the things of the Spirit, part of the choice mechanism that causes spiritual things to work is the choice of owning our own behavior. Now, that's part of the door. If you're going through door A, one of the entry points is owning our own behavior. That means the devil even gets a rest. Okay? That means demons even get a rest. And definitely husbands and wives get a rest. But it's a spiritual, it's part of the spiritual science of this thing. The spiritual, when we own, and it's a choice, when we own our own behavior, what was Israel's problem? They would not. God had a bigger problem with them not owning their behavior than he did their behavior. Can you hear that? So, see, it's not about doing the right thing as much as it is owning the thing that you're doing. What problem did God have with Adam and Eve? They just wouldn't own their behavior. They blamed each other, and then they blamed the serpent. The problem wasn't so much the tree, is it? Or if you're a president of the United States, I'm not calling any names, but several of them have done things wrong, and they didn't get them for what they did wrong. They did it because they wouldn't own their behavior. That's what got them in trouble, you know. And so, I mean, the laws of the land got that one down a little bit. So the key to walking through the spiritual door for Israel and their downfall was God gave them a very strong edge of their intellect, which I believe that we have today as Christians. Do I think there are smart people in the world? Yes, but I want to prophesy this. I believe from here, where we're heading, that the smartest people in the world you're going to find is to be a Christian. And I think that some of the greatest discoveries, I prayed several weeks ago, that the Lord would give a strong Christian believer, doctor, or whoever he is, the key, the revelation for a vaccine or whatever we need for this COVID-19. And I know in the world that I am, and in dairy, if you want to go to where the latest discoveries are or the latest, the new stuff in the dairy business, and that's from crops to cows to milking equipment. What, you go to Israel. That's where you go. They are like 20 years ahead of the world all the time. And so everybody always heads there for their research. It's like they get in a week what it takes everybody else 5 years to get. So you cannot deny that their intellect has been supersized and has the supernaturals come upon it. And I felt in prayer and in praying and studying in Jeremiah that where we are, and as a church, we need to recognize that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we should have the greatest intellect on the planet as God's people, with the greatest disciplines to use that intellect with the right choices. But with great intellect comes great disciplines, because it is just like with Israel. They could talk themselves in so quickly to other gods or kill babies or do this. They could do it so quickly, it didn't take them long, and they could hold it, and they'd tell you why, and you couldn't argue. I mean, God sent prophet after prophet, but they were, what held them in their disobedience was they were so blame smart. They had talked themselves into this was the truth or the better way. That's what I want to say. It's not just rebellion. That's sin 101. We're talking about a much more complex sin here. When a nation falls, it's falling to what they think is better ideas through the intellect, not the correct choices of the word. But I believe God's people need to have a greater intellect than anything the world has to offer. You say, well, Alan, that sounds like a prejudiced thought. Well, count me guilty, because we have the power of the Holy Ghost to bring revelation. And I believe and I prophesy that to the church of Jesus Christ. So Israel was not owning their behavior, which is a cardinal sin, if you will, of the intellect of choices and truth. Now, once, if you're going to run with truth, revelation is truth. So if you're going to run with truth, you got to be a truthful person. And so to be a truthful person and to run with, if people say, well, I want to get revelation of the Holy Ghost, da, da, da. I'm like, okay, well, you got to get some things in order here. You got to get some things in line. And truth is truth, and truth comes from God. So that means you're an honest person, and it means that your choices are going to be the choices of truth of God. And as we carry on this behavior, and it's through our intellect that God's given us, your intellect will increase, your wisdom will increase, the power of the Spirit will increase, the revelation of God's Word will increase. But it's because the truth is your marker of how you're walking, and that is the marker in which your choices are made. It's not how you feel or how you're persuaded or I like this person or I like that person. You can't do that if you're going to be a prophet of God. You just can't do it. Now, you can fuss with God like Jeremiah did, but when it got down to rubber hitting the road, he always did the right thing. A particular friend of mine goes to this church here. He'll fuss and argue and kick and snort, and that just tickles me, because I know he's going to do the right thing, ever what it is. I don't care what it is. He's like throwing a cat up there. He'll always land right, and I'll not call no names. Okay. Now, their thinking was not sharp, but dull. What happens is when we get given over to our own intellect, our own choice, we're making our own choices. We're not going through door A of the kingdom. We're going through door B of the world. Understand, your intellect's what gets you there. Intellect's not a bad thing. It's a huge good thing. I'm wanting more of it, but to use it in order. But you got to have the choices of the kingdom. You're going with the kingdom. But what happened with Israel, when you stay in this state long, you start getting dull. Your intellect starts getting dull. You're dull of hearing. I think I'll put it here. When your thinking is sharp, you must learn how to hold and carry it. So I hope you hear what I'm saying. Somebody who has very sharp intellect, and they're very sharp, they're bam, they're just got truth and right. You don't hold a knife and you just throw it around like, because you got a sharp intellect. If you're sharp, you got to learn how to hold it, because you're going to cut up somebody. You're going to hurt somebody. A dull knife doesn't hurt too many. It's just a bunch of talk. But if you're really sharp in your intellect and you're full of the power of the Holy Spirit, then it comes a choice and a discipline of how this truth that you've been given is used, because it's sharp. It'll cut. Can anybody hear what I've had a few times in my life, I felt like I was sharper than at other times. And I remember, this is a confession, I had a particular place of business, and Robert would appreciate this, is actually as an insurance office. I had called 6 months earlier or something to up an insurance because if something was added, tragedy happened, it got destroyed, called up there and said, hey, this got destroyed. Well, the lady that I'd given it to had forgotten to add it to the policy. It wasn't a good thing. So, and honestly and truly, I promise you, I didn't lose it. I didn't go off on it, but I was very firm. Well, it wasn't but a few hours, the guy over at the office called and said, Alan, get up here right now. I've got four secretaries. All of them's crying. I don't know what you said to say. I said, I didn't say nothing. I thought I was very easy. I said, hey, I'm the victim here. You know, he said, nope, get up here. I got a mess. So I go up there and apologize. And truthfully, I didn't think I did, but my voice was so firm and sharp. I'm just telling you, with withholding truth. And I'm not saying that I'm like that. Most of the time I'm pretty dull. But that one particular day I had a little streak, I guess. I knew what had happened. And what had happened was I did say it firm and sharp and all that. And it cut. Not nicely. So I learned a huge lesson with that. Is if you are operating in truth, you don't have to embellish it any. You don't have to get loud. You don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, you got to be careful, because if you really stick that thing in, it might go deeper and further than the Lord intends. You don't use truth and then try to embellish it in a way of a persuasion. Are you with me, prophetic people? For a true prophetic word, you don't have to do that. You give it, that's it. And so you can see here what was happening, though, to Israel. They were getting dull. You see, Israel was to influence the earth. But what was happening was the earth was influencing Israel. God's chosen people, he chose these people to give his truth to distribute to the earth. That was God's plan when he did Abraham. He said, I'm going to choose this people. We're going to grow a nation. Up until Abraham, God just dispensed his truth to the earth, however how he wanted to do it, donkeys and all. And so when we got to here, God said, no, I'm going to use a people. I'm going to give them the truth, and they'll distribute this truth to the earth. And God goes through this segue here if you're going to walk with God, and we're going to act like we're the people of God, we got to tremendously be very serious about carrying the truth, and it's a sharp item. It's a sharp item. Now, if you'll notice when somebody's truths are dull. See, truth is the truth, but your truth can, I'm wanting you to consider, your truth can be dull or your truth can be sharp. When it's dull, you can just throw it out here anywhere, but the truth is it's not going to cut much. When it's sharp, then you got to be careful, because you'll overcut. It'll do the work, because it's the sharpness of the truth of the Word of God. And the sharpness comes through humility. Comes with being before the Lord. It comes with not having an agenda of trying to sell your ideas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just so hard not to have the agenda to sell your persuasion. When we're given the truth or revelations of God, we just give it, let it lay where it lays. If it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's okay. If you get in there and try to sell it or whatever, you can cut people up with it. So you can see here with Israel, their problem was their intellect had been going dull. Now today, with Israel back as a nation again, it's amazing what they're creating over. It is if you want to just go research what they're doing, and it's just how in the world they're fighting to hold their borders and growing all this stuff in the desert. I don't know if anybody looks at the agriculture like I do, but I'm like, this is just like I told you in the dairy business, every time I say they got this new thing now to check your milk, your butter fats, and your bacteria levels and da da. Well, Israel now has this little probe, the milk can pass through, he can read it all. So I said, well, have they come up with anything like, yes, and they got it in Israel. And this day, the last 5 years, it's like in the dairy business, all the answers, I'm not kidding. It's like, well, you have to get it from Israel. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so I can see the intellect is getting sharper there. And that is one of the prophetic markers I use. And when you start seeing scripture, where do I think we're headed somewhere? Only thing I can tell you is God is sharpening Israel. He's sharpening their intellect. The way they'll carry this thing will be that. But the choice of how the intellect is used here is the issue. I hope you're kind of catching what I'm saying here. Now, Israel's intellect had been taking them over and was destroying them. That was their problem. They did not insert the three sides one of the third being God, what God said about the issues. Your intellect will take you. It can either be used by the Holy Spirit and God, or it can take you to a place that your intellect can convince your soul of anything that it's right. Now, you've got to see intellect as just a storage bin. Intellect doesn't have feeling to it. It just stores facts. But it can persuade the soul, that this is right. Because did you know you can take this Bible, which I know you know, but you can take this Bible and all the different denominations, and most of them, you can use their set of scriptures and you'll come to the same conclusions. I mean, some say, well, let's sprinkle. Some say, well, let's duck. And some say, well, it's pre-trib. Some says post. Well, if you in Calvinism, Arminian, you can take the scriptures and use them in such a way that it will support how you think. There's no need trying to pull out a Bible with me anymore and arguing scripture. I'm like, yeah, and there's 1,000 other ways to argue. It's not that. If you do not have the element and the goal in a conversation is unity in mind, you can differ, but we all have the same goal, and it's to come together in unity. Can you hear me? Yeah, I've done a teaching before. It says that your love must exceed your message. So it's not the deal is not the message as much as it is the love. But still, the message can't be heard unless the love is greater than the message. Like I was saying in our elders' meetings or whatever, our love for each other is greater than any of our own personal arguments. We will not die for our personal arguments, but we will die for each other. So don't talk about any of them. Amen? So that's it. But that's the idea here. And your intellect is, and especially in the prophetic, we have to be careful that it doesn't violate the heart of God. It's to be an instrument for the heart of God. So Israel's intellect had taken them over and was destroying them. And my whole point here is that in the day that we're living, we will come to the wrong conclusions, and our intellect has collected this much evidence that equals a different conclusion than what God's Word says. So there we abandon the way we have accumulated our information to form a truth. And you've heard me say it before, accumulation of information does not equal a prophetic truth. It's not the way that works. The whole issue of today's, as I move into the middle of the book, which I didn't get there, but the whole issue is to start differentiating between the intellect and the soul and the spirit, how it's a tool to be used, or it can be a tool used for us or against them. We love to identify totally with the intellect because it feels like that's personal. That's who I am. If I get the persona of that I'm smart or dumb or whatever, that's still not who you are. That's not who the person is. God says in His Word, He looks upon the heart of man. So then we got this. So if I'm in unity with each other, and it's like with this elder group here, we know each other's heart. We might be thinking a different way, but we know the heart. And so our unity is in the heart of each other, not necessarily our opinion or our intellect. The truth is, we don't care who any idea to us will work if we're in unity, and we'll go forth in the power of the Spirit because of our unity of heart, not because of our agreement on process or ideas. And that's what was happening, though, to the nation Israel, and I wanted us to see that. And you will be hearing more from our pastor and on the coming weeks. We'll be having more information about this Wednesday, this coming Sunday. Since we've had a judge, I think it is, maybe it's changed the stage of things with this COVID-19. We have two things to watch as leaders here. Number one is, do we realize that we can meet as a church based on our constitution? Yeah, we all are fully aware of that. We realize that the governor or nobody else can keep us from getting together. There again, that's not our point. That's our liberties. We understand here we have the liberty to do that. But then we have this thing called unity and wanting to to move in the power of the Spirit of God. And that's what we're looking for now. So how leadership deciphers, if you will, or how we take into account this new judge ruling, and then we know the governor thinks we should. Then the judge said, well, by the Constitution, you can. So does that mean you just throw the doors open and let's go for it? No, not necessarily. Because here, as leaders, please just allow us and pray for us that we can follow the Holy Spirit of God. There's three sides. You got a governor, and you got a judge, and you got God. And so we want to try to follow the Spirit of God here. So we do need your prayer. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. Now, we ask and pray, oh God, if there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray that it would fall to the ground. And if I've said anything that's of you,